This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة وبركاته. I hope that you enjoyed your Friday Jumu'ah. I hope that you got hold of your Pakistanis because they are here in Canada, alhamdulillah, and it's a very short season, so the sindari dates, mangoes are out, and we'll get the chonsas in a couple of weeks, maybe in about 2 weeks, inshallah. So while we wait for a couple of people to come on, inshallah, you know, today's Friday, there's still the last 40 minutes or so of this Friday, so make sure that you take advantage of sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as you possibly can. And also, if you haven't recited Surah Al-Kahf, well, you know, typically Friday is the day that we do it. So if you want to recite Surah Al-Kahf and skip on today's class and just watch them, then there might be something wise to do. Allah knows best. But today we're going to continue with our class on the etiquettes of speech, and we're going to look at a few different topics, inshallah ta'ala. The first one we're going to look at is when someone speaks and then turns and walks away. How do we respect what they mention? So someone comes to you, for example, someone comes to you, it's happened as Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma says, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "إذا حدث الرجل بالحديث ثم التفت فهي أمانة." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When a man or a person tells something to you and then turns and departs, then that is a trust." What does this mean? Right? Someone basically comes to you and talks to you and immediately turns and walks away. What do you need to do? Should you respect that? If they didn't say anything about it, maybe they said, "You know what, I want to share something with you," and they say something to you and all of a sudden they just turn and they walk away, right? How do we respect that? What does that even mean? So Islamically, we look at that as a trust, something that someone confided in you with, right? They came to you, they shared something important with you, something that was meaningful to them, something that is important and absolutely, an emotion of theirs. How do we know this? Well, the person came and they shared it with you and then they turned and they left. They may have turned left because, out of fear for themselves or something that was going on, or, you know, sometimes people come and they need some help. For example, it happens with me a lot where people will come to me, start telling me something, and then they'll just get up and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. And then they get up and they leave, right? Now, that's an amana. Whatever they shared with you is an amana, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, as in, it is in they have entrusted you with those words. They felt comfortable enough to tell you what was on their mind, what they were feeling, what was in their heart. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, we need to respect how they felt or feel, and we need to respect what they told us. So if it was something that is private, something that is secret, something that's important, we keep it as a trust between us and that person. Now, of course, there are times when we may need to help someone, right? Someone might come to you and say, when they come and say something to you and then leave, that doesn't mean that it's just a secret. It could mean that they trust you enough to do something with the words that they're sharing with you. For example, someone comes to you and says, "I'm being abused, can you help me?" Or they don't even say, "Can you help me?" They might come to you and say, I'm being abused at home. And they turn and they walk away. Why would they come and say that to you? There's a reason why they came. There's a reason why they trusted you and trusted to share that with you. What just happened? Okay, so I think I'm hoping the live stream is still working there, inshallah. There we go. Should be up and running. Okay. So there's a reason why they came and they said this to you. I'm being abused at home. Or, so-and-so person has done this to me. And they walk away. That means they've come to you seeking help. Trust you enough to be able to help them. To assist them in what they're going through in their life. So my brothers and sisters, it's an amana. It's not just a secret. It's an amana. They've trusted you enough to come to you for you to be able to help them in a situation that they're going through. And we've probably seen so many videos online of, you know, people that are in a very difficult situation and they come to someone and they just give them a piece of paper and they leave, you know, because someone they're with might have a weapon or something of that sort. And then, you know, they call the authorities and the authorities come and, you know, take some sort of action against the oppressor or the person who's, you know, abusing someone else. And so Islamically we see that as an amana, a trust speech that we have to respect. Someone shares something with us, very short, very brief, they say something and they walk away. That is important to acknowledge and to act accordingly, and we leave the rest up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we saw an example of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. We move on. Taqdeem al-akbar fil kalam. So to allow those that are elder, those that are senior, those that are more knowledgeable, or even those that are older than us in age to speak first before we take that platform of speaking. And we look at the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, right? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he's with his father, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And they're in a gathering with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he narrates that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he asks his companions, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of a tree which resembles a Muslim, giving its fruits at every season by the permission of its Lord, and the leaves of which do not fall. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which tree resembles that of the bird, right? Resembles that of the Muslim who gives its fruits, or who gives its fruits at every season, as in is assisting people regardless of the time, always there. You know, it is of some benefit to people. Therefore, the Muslim is of some benefit to others, regardless of the season, the time, the day, or the night. By the permission of its Lord, and the leaves of which do not fall. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who are sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they don't respond. They stay quiet. They're silent. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he looks around and he sees that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are all staying quiet. He's young, he's a boy at the time. So he says, radiallahu an, I thought of the date palm tree, but I refrained from speaking because Abu Bakr and Umar were there. Umar is his father, radiallahu an. Right? But he says, I refrained from speaking because Abu Bakr and Umar were there. Even though he thought and felt that the answer to the question of the Prophet ﷺ was the date palm tree. When nobody spoke up, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is the date palm tree. Then when the Sahaba dispersed, they left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he is walking away with his father, Umar Ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He says, when I came out with my father, I said, oh father, it came to my mind that it was the date palm tree. So he tells his father, he says, you know what? I actually thought or felt that the answer to the question of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the date palm tree. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says to his son, he says, what prevented you from saying it, O my son? Right? What prevented you from saying it? Had you said it, it would have been more dear to me than such and such thing. And he mentioned something. And then Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he responds to his father. He responds to his father, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he says, I said nothing. He says, nothing prevented me except the fact that neither you nor Abu Bakr spoke. So I dislike to speak in your presence. Look at this long story to learn a very simple thing. That those who are older from amongst us have a right to speak first before those who are younger. That does not mean that we never ever listen to or acknowledge the youth. And this is a problem that we face today. And I could probably sit here and talk about this for the next hour, but I'm not going to do that, right? But just to touch upon the topic a little bit, as the older generation, and I feel like I'm getting older, even though I hope that I'm so young, alhamdulillah, right? As older in life, we feel as though the youngsters or the youth, the teenagers, the children from amongst us, you know, we disregard what they have to say, what they feel, what their ideas are and their opinions and so on and so forth. But the reality is we should listen to them a little bit more. Just because we are shown within Islam to allow those who are older than us to speak first doesn't mean that those who are younger should never speak. And it don't mean that wisdom is only with the elders and not with the youngsters. It also doesn't mean that the youth can't be a part of or play a vital role in the development and the growth of our communities. In fact, we should empower our youth a lot more. We see that in many, you know, countries, especially non-Muslim countries around the world, they empower the youth so much. They encourage the youth to be a part of everything, right? Part of communities and centers and projects and feeding people and looking after the towns and the cities and cleanliness and being part of, you know, volunteering in hospitals and even coming to work with their parents and stuff like that. Like they're so empowerment that we see happening around us. Yet within our Muslim communities, a lot of the time we fail to acknowledge the youth and we fail to simply lend an ear, to listen to what they have to say. And you know what, sisters, when we listen to the younger generation, first of all, we are teaching them to listen to the generation. So when you give someone the time to speak, and that's actually the next chapter heading or the next subtopic that we are covering, or I should say the next topic that we're taking within this chapter is عدم مقاطعة الحديث, right? Refraining from cutting off someone when they're speaking. So when we, as those who are older, hear or see that someone who's younger wants to speak, and we allow them to speak and we listen to them, what we are teaching them is that they should in return also allow those who are older than them to speak and to listen and pay attention and not cut them off. You see, my brothers and sisters, the way that we teach people, and subhanAllah, I know it's easier said than done, but the way that we interact with people in society, we have to very much understand the importance of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he mentions al-muslimu akhul muslim, right? And when he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. One of you will not truly and fully believe until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. Right? Why? Because when someone has something on their mind or in their heart and they want to express themselves, right? If we cut them off and we never listen to them, we're not doing justice. And how do we expect them in return to stop and listen to us and pay attention to us when we have something to say? They'll treat us the same way we treated them, right? And so, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this, you know, part of this chapter about allowing those who are older to speak first. Yes, within Islam, we give respect and honor to those who are older than us. But at the same time, we as those who may be older than others, right? Regardless of how old you are, there's always going to be someone who's younger than you. And regardless of how young you are, there's always going to be someone who's older than you. Regardless of how young you are, there's always going to be someone who's younger than you. And regardless of how old you are, there's going to be someone who's older than you. So there's always going to be someone who's older and someone who's younger, regardless of whether you are old or you are young. Okay? What that means is we need to understand other people's feelings and other people's emotions, other people's thoughts. And when we allow people to express themselves, sometimes we diffuse issues and incidents that could arise. Right? We diffuse it. How do we diffuse it? Well, we diffuse it by allowing them to express themselves and getting it out, and then possibly responding to what they have to say, or simply acknowledging what they have to say, and then they feel satisfied. They feel as though their emotions, their thoughts, their feelings were heard. And it's important for people to feel heard, not hurt, heard, as in someone listened to them. Why? Because it gets the feelings out, but also you plant the seed. When people listen to you, they may not agree right now. They may not acknowledge what you have to say right now, but there may come a point in time in their life when they feel similar, or they realize and acknowledge what you said long ago. And so, my brothers and sisters, a way to teach the younger generation to listen to the elders or the older generation from amongst us is for us, regardless of how old we are, to listen to those who are younger. Because we teach them that if I listen to you, then you should listen to me as well. Right? And the next part, like I said, عَدَمْ وَقَاطَعَةِ الْحَدِيثِ. Don't cut people off when they're speaking, right? When people are speaking, give them your attention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone was talking to him, he would give them his attention, right? He would look at them, or you know, he would look in their direction. And you know, there's this discussion within Islam. Some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they say that they would never ever look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his face, as in they would never look directly in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were so shy in front of him that they would look down, right? They would look down. They would not feel comfortable to look at him, right? And so they would look in his direction, but they would not look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give his full attention to whoever he's talking to, right? So if he was talking to you, he would look at you and he would listen to you and he would not be distracted by what's going on, despite people talking to him and trying to grab his attention. And we see this in an example. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in a majlis, right? بَيْنَمَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ مَجْلِسٍ and he's talking to his people. He's talking to the qawm, to his companions, radiallahu anhum. An A'rabi, a Bedouin, came, right, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mata sa'a?" When is the hour, right? When is the day of judgment, or that final hour, resurrection? When is it going to happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pauses and continues speaking. And then there's speculation, right? There's like some of the Sahaba are like, maybe he didn't hear him, maybe he, you know, is not too pleased with this question. Maybe he doesn't know sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not too sure why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paused and then continued in what he was talking about and disregarded the question of the Bedouin man. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Where is the person who asked about the hour?" And the Bedouin man, he, you know, raises his voice. He, you know, identifies himself. He says, I am him. He says, you know, what is your question? And he says, Mata sa'a? When is the hour? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds by saying, when honesty is lost, then wait for the hour. When honesty is lost, then wait for the hour. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are like, when honesty is lost, then wait for the hour. What does that mean? So they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, how will that be lost? How will honesty, like they can't even comprehend the fact that honesty would not exist amongst the people. Right? So they're like, how will that be, how will honesty be lost, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies and says, when the power of authority comes in the hands of people who are unfit, then wait for the hour. When the power of authority is given to people who are not fit to have those positions of authority, then wait for the hour. As in, that means you are near the end of time. What do we learn in this example, my brothers and sisters? We actually are not talking about the hadith itself and what was said, the lesson of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are looking at the example of the action of the Bedouin man who came during the majlis, during that gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he's addressing the people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and this man comes and interrupts, not liked within Islam to interrupt people when they are speaking. And it is not from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why when the Bedouin man came and interrupted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he paused and then he continued to teach, right? Or to address the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And that shows us that we should not interrupt someone when they're speaking. We listen. And when the time comes to ask questions, then we ask questions. And so this Bedouin, he had a very good question, which is important. The Sahaba didn't know the answer to it either. And they themselves were asking, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean when honesty is lost? How is it possible that honesty would be lost? Right? And then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers that question. So it shows us the importance of being respectful to the one who's speaking. Also, when we interrupt someone who's speaking, it makes us look bad. When someone is saying something, we stand up and say, oh, you're a liar, you don't know what you're talking about. It makes you look bad. All of a sudden, everyone who is listening to this person, that person who was speaking may not have been speaking the truth, but now it just makes you look bad. So as believers, we always are cautious. We are always careful of how we conduct ourselves, right? And this is why etiquettes are so important to learn. How do we sit? How do we stand? How do we speak? How do we talk? How do we listen, right? How do we look? And where do we look, right? And what do we listen to? And how do we, you know, the things that we say and so on and so forth. So, alhamdulillah, we can learn a lot from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's take a couple more things, inshallah ta'ala. Let's look at one more thing, inshallah. Okay. At-ta'anni fil kalam wa 'adam al-isra' fihi. It is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to not speak too fast, right? To speak in a manner where people can listen, they can hear, they can comprehend. And the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would speak, he would allow them to not only listen and comprehend, but to also memorize. To memorize what was being said. Right? So, Aisha radiallahu anha, she tells us in this hadith, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, she says, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would not speak on and on like the way that you do. Rather, he would pause periodically so that those who sat with him would remember what he said. Look at that. She says, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would speak in a manner that people are able to listen, to comprehend, and he would pause, giving them the ability to sort of instill within them what he was saying, to remember, to memorize what he had said. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we learned already, he had jawami' al-kalim, the ability to say small sentences, small phrases that had very powerful, heavy meanings, right? So he would say something small, ad-din al-nasiha. What does that mean, right? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدَكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Right? Simple phrases, simple things. Right, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would memorize, and they would understand, and they would think, and they would reflect. Now, it shows a number of things. First of all, it shows wisdom. Okay, there's a difference between speaking slowly because you know what you're saying and you want it to be understood by the people, and speaking slowly because you have no idea what you're saying. And sometimes when you listen to, and sadly, you know, this is something that you'll see official announcements, right? Sometimes official announcements, they speak so slowly, first of all, because the teleprompter is going too slow. Second of all, because they have no idea what they're saying and they're just trying to make sure that it all makes sense, right? And making sure that they don't contradict themselves or something else that they said, right? So it's important for people, when they speak, to speak that which is true and right. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal nas, ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Right? To say that which is true. Say that which is true and what is right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la tafa'alun. Oh, you who believe, why is it that you say that which you do not do? Right? So it's important for us to think before we speak. And remember, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, right? Say that which is good or remain silent. Remain silent. You don't need to always be saying stuff. You don't need to always be talking. And when we say to refrain from saying things, what we mean as well is refrain from typing things or refrain from posting things online. We don't need to comment to every single post that we come across. And for some reason, social media, many of us, where we will see something online and we feel like we all need to say something about it. Something's going on in the world and we all need to say it. Someone posts about a food and we all need to say something about it, or a restaurant and we all need to comment about it, or weather and we all need to comment about it, or you know, whatever it is, anything that's happening, anything that's posted that we see, we all feel that we need to say something about it. And then people say, oh, but why are you stopping us? We have freedom of speech. Yes, we have freedom of speech, but you always need to speak. We don't always need to speak. You know, sometimes people message me and they say, why haven't you commented about this? Why haven't you said that? Everyone is talking about this. Why haven't you said anything? Because I don't need to. All of you have spoken already. Why do I need to say anything, right? So many people are saying the same thing. Why do I need to say it again? And at the same time, I may not agree with you. You might agree to something. I may not agree with you. And if I choose not to say it or voice that opinion publicly, alhamdulillah. As believers, we keep our belief and our iman between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so it's important to learn how to speak, when to speak, what to say, how to say it, who to say it to, and so on and so forth. And this is why we are learning what we're learning. So remember, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Allah's messenger would not speak on, Allah's messenger would not speak on and on like that you do. Rather, would pause periodically so that those who sat with him would remember what he said. And you know what, my brothers and sisters, many of you have been asking, why don't we do daily halaqat, daily classes? The Prophet ﷺ actually discouraged from doing too many classes, from teaching too much, because you, first of all, don't value the knowledge after some time. And second of all, we cannot, as human beings, grasp and retain all of it all the time. There has to be change, and there has to be a break, and there has to be a pause, and there has to be, you know, a time to refresh oneself. And it should not always be constant delivery of messages and information and so on. No, what we learned last week, we should have time to implement. We should have time to research. We should have time to try and comprehend. We should have time to try and understand what it means, and try to figure out how we are going to better ourselves, and so on and so forth. And that's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before we speak, we think and we reflect, and then when we do speak, we speak words of wisdom. That's all that we're going to take for today, inshallah ta'ala. I'll open it up for some questions. If anyone has any questions, feel free to type those in the comment section. And if not, then we will, in a few minutes, you know, get ready for Salat al-Maghrib. Those of you who have not completed your recitation of Surah al-Kahf for the day, then please remember to do so. And those of you who want to head out and make dua, because it is the last few minutes of Friday before the sunset, and this is a time when dua, when prayers, when supplication is accepted, use this time wisely to pray and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, for peace, for safety, for tranquility, for strength of iman, for, you know, hifz of the Quran, and for nearness to Allah and love of Him in our hearts, and, you know, the strength and the ability to implement the sunnah and teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And, you know, the strength that we need to be better people in our society and to support goodness and to stand strong when we see that there are injustices and evils that are happening. And so use that time and remember to make dua, pray and supplicate for all of us as well. Don't forget your Muslim brothers and sisters and the rest of the world and the ummah in your dua, in your prayers. So if we don't have any questions, I'll stick around for another minute or so, see if there's any questions that do come in. If not, then we will end the session, inshallah. And if I sit really still and only move my eyes, it may be a little freaky. Sometimes people come on and they're like, is it frozen? Alhamdulillah. Okay, I think I saw there was a question about fasting. Let me just scroll up. Are you allowed to fast every day? So it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not from the teachings of Islam to fast every day. The most a person who is willing to fast should fast for is to fast one day, skip a day, fast a day, skip a day, fast a day, skip a day. But it is not encouraged to fast every single day, because it takes away from the strength of the body, it takes away from the immune system, and it takes away from your ability and strength to fulfill some of the physical aspects of life that are needed. If an imam breaks their wudu while leading a prayer in congregation, what should the imam do? The imam should leave and go and make wudu. And they have the choice of either pausing the congregation, just announcing to them that I'll be back, and just leaves, makes wudu, and comes back and continues the prayer where he left off. Or to ask someone behind them to lead the prayer. So to signal or to pull someone up to lead that prayer. Okay. So that's all that we'll take for today. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fikum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.